Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So obviously the narrative context is really important for understanding the Bible. Like if you don't know what's going on when you read these verses, it's hard to understand them. So it may be helpful to know that at the end of Mark chapter 7, Jesus is coming into town. And there's a blind man. And it's a unique healing story because Jesus fails the first time. He puts his hands on him, and the guy can't see, and then he does it again. And immediately after that, the next story, Jesus saying, "Who do you say that I am?" And they say, Peter says, "You're the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Shut up." I mean, he didn't say shut up. He said, "Don't tell anybody." But he said he rebuked them, which is the same word for casting out a demon. It's not saying they're demons, but it's a strong word. And then immediately Jesus starts explaining, "I don't know what you think a Messiah is, but I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to rise on the third day." And then Peter rebukes him. And Jesus, either talking to Peter or saying to himself, says, rebukes him and says, "You do not understand the way God understands." The Greek words think, it's a gnosis word. You're thinking like a man and not like God. And so I think we have to understand that this entire point of the story, that story about the miracle is a parable explaining blindness. Now, with that in mind, the reading, you know I love the Old Testament. I think the reading is about understanding our blindness and understanding how we see the kingdom of God. So in morning prayer on Wednesday, which was a feast day, so we had a different reading. It was from Samuel. And it's that famous story about God says to Samuel, "Saul ain't worked out at all, so I need you to go get me a new king and go to the town and get Jesse. And you're going to anoint one of his boys." So they go, and you know, like Samuel's like, "Well, if Saul finds out, he's going to kill me." So the political problems have been around for longer than the last few weeks. And when his first son comes out, what's his name? Eliab comes out. Samuel's like, "Oh man, this is the guy, man. He's really big, and he's got to be the one." And God says, Nope. He said, "God does not see the way a man sees." And literally that reading helped me get my sermon together because I was struggling mightily. He said, "God does not see the way a man sees. Men look at what's visible. We see the outside." He said, "God sees what's in the heart." And so seeing is a huge thing. And I had written my sermon about seeing, but I couldn't pull it together. Well, at that moment, that gave me the linchpin. So seeing the way God sees is the point. Peter does not see the way God sees. Samuel does not see. So this is like the number one apostle and one of the most important prophets. So when I say to you, you don't see the way God sees and you get offended, go to the Vatican. Man, they have big statues to Samuel and Peter. They were, in fact, they named a church after Peter. So if you think you're doing better than them, that might be a little arrogant. Just a little. So in our first reading, Genesis, and this is why I love the Hebrew. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Well, guess what the word appeared is in Hebrew? Ra'ah. Ra'ah. Which literally means to see. So when you look at the word appeared in English, it doesn't mean see, even though it means you can see. But in Hebrew, it's the same word. So that word occurs 7 times in Genesis that God saw and it was good. God saw and it was good. And then there's one other time it says that the land appeared out of the water when he divided it. So it's 8 times. But 7 times God sees and it's good. Well, then the next 2 times someone sees, not so good. You know who saw the next thing, right? Eve. So Eve, it says she saw the fruit. And it looked good. And she said, it's desirable to the eyes. And the word desirable literally means it's the same word for the passions or for lust. So it's a word that means to really desire strongly, and it can be negative. So her eyes, it's all about the eyes in the first sin. The next story is in Genesis 6, and it's this bizarre story about the sons of God. They looked, they saw that the women looked good, and they took them for wives. So in the divine realm, and angels and demons and gods and all that stuff that I don't understand, you don't understand, that realm looked at human women and chose to take them, and it's in the spirit realm. They do the same thing that Eve and Adam do in our realm, which is they see it looks good and they take it. They take it. Now, the next person who sees somebody is God. What God sees is the world is filled with evil, and God sees that the human beings are filled with evil, and God sees that the world is corrupt. So the world he saw as good, he now sees as corrupt. And the humans he made in his image and likeness, he now sees are corrupt and evil. But God saw that Noah was righteous. And he makes a covenant with Noah. And we all know what the covenant is, even the little children. What is it? Big thing in the sky. Say it loud, say it proudly. I know you know this. You know one thing in the Bible. It's a rainbow. Now say it.
Rainbow.
Rainbow. Congratulations. We have a scripturally erudite parish here. When you see the rainbow, I put a rainbow in my Facebook once. I was out running early, like at 5:30 in the morning. There's a rainbow. Man, I got like 800 comments. Because no one looks at a rainbow and says, well, that's not impressive, right? Rainbows take your breath away. I'm nearing retirement age, and I'm like a little boy, just, oh, my gosh, rainbows are. And God says, when I see the rainbow, I'm going to remember my covenant. Then there's another story. Remember, Abraham was supposed to have the child. And Abraham and Sarah said, you know, God is just distracted. We better take care of this on our own. So Sarah says, I have a great idea. Why don't you impregnate my girl here, and then we can have the baby through him. And then it said, when she found out she was pregnant, Hagar saw Sarah, and she had little sight in her eyes. She disdained her. So Sarah did what all good wives do. She said, look what you did to me. You're going to pay for this. Abraham, do whatever you want, honey. Do whatever you want. I did what you told me to do. You didn't like what you wanted me to do. So now do whatever you want to do and make it right. And so Sarah abuses Hagar, and Hagar runs away into the desert, crying out to God. And in the desert, she encounters God. God talks to her. And she calls him the God of seeing. The God of seeing. And she asks herself, have I seen God and remained alive after I saw him? Now, there's a ton more references to seeing in the Jewish Bible and in the Christian New Testament. Human sight, our sight is impacted by our selfishness, the false thoughts and the passions in the Greek sense, the New Testament sense, those desires which we have, which take control of us and draw us away from God and loving others. Lent is a time to clean your eyes. And Lent is a time to have your eyes clean. Lent is a time to be healed, to receive healing. And until you and I see as God sees, until that day, we remain in the darkness of sin and death. So this, as I'm looking outside, this is really how our sight works. It's kind of dim. I'm not saying we're totally blind. What I'm saying is it's kind of dim. We really don't see clearly. And God sent Jesus to heal our minds and hearts, to heal our bodies and souls. God sent Jesus to give us eyes that sees the way God sees. So this Lent, we're called to repent and believe the good news. And we have to understand that the good news is we got to die on a cross too. And if we are willing to give ourselves up and stop fighting for ours and relinquish it and trust God, then our eyes will be open. Amen.